Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special author spotlight of Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is author Melanie Moreland. Hi, Melanie.
That's me.
That's you. So Melanie is joining us to celebrate the release of My Favorite Boss, which I noticed that you're calling it a book two in your My Favorite series, but it stands alone.
Oh, it's a total standalone. One book has nothing to do with the other. It's going to be a series of my favorites.
Yeah. So the first book is My Favorite Kidnapper, which if you guys haven't read that, you absolutely should go download that and check it out. But we're dropping this on the release of My Favorite Boss, which is your newest book out. Okay, I'm going to read your bio and then we'll get into all the things. So New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and USA Today bestselling author Melanie Moreland lives in Ontario with her husband for over 30 years and their rescue cat, Amber. She values her family and friends, enjoys baking, cooking, and hosting dinner parties, and loves to travel. Though she's always appreciates coming home, despite being a coffee addict and technically challenged, she has a sense of humor, joking about her adventures, hobbies like skydiving and snowboarding. And Melanie believes in happily ever afters, no matter how bumpy the journey is.
Yes.
Okay, yes, skydiving.
Yeah, and there's no skydiving or snowboarding. Yeah. That's me tripping over my own feet.
Although you've been, like, dabbling in home renovations lately.
Oh, yes, we just finished one. So I painted the bedroom, like, a year and a half ago and promptly decided I hated it, but it's a lot of work to paint, and I'm 5 foot nothing, and I have 9 foot ceilings. So for me to try and paint is just,
yeah,
whatever. So I decided to live with it. But then when we were in Louisville, I walked into the hotel room and went, oh my God, I love this color combination and I want this in my room. So I took pictures and went to my local paint store and said, can you match these colors? And they did. So now I have three walls that are abyss color and one wall that's a deep, rich, royal navy blue.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I bought this huge headboard bed with an upholstered headboard and, you know, the silver, whatever those are.
Rivets.
Yes, all down the side. So yesterday, Matt and I are like, okay, we're going to put the bed together and la, la, la. Took us 6 hours to put this bed together. There was 49 screws or something and 38 slats. And it was just every time I thought, okay, we must be near the end. Matt would be like, okay, that was step 3 of 8. And I'm like, oh. So after every step, we had to take a break. And by the end of step 7, I was ready for the alcohol.
Yeah.
But the bed went together and it looks great. And I hung all my pictures and I love the room. And my neighbor came in today and went, I'm doing this to my room. Can I have your paint colors? I'm like, oh, we've started a trend.
I love that. I was actually laughing because you were talking about how you have to get a stool ordered to get in the bed.
Yes. We bought one of those short or smaller box springs so that I wouldn't have so much trouble getting on the bed because our mattress is, I don't know, 3.5 feet deep, I swear. Yeah. So on the new one, when we looked at the bed, I said to Matt, well, look how nice and low the frame is. This will be even easier. And yeah, the frame's low, but the insert where the bed goes is actually higher. So when we got the bed together, it came up past my waist. And I'm like, how am I supposed to get in this bed? So I had to use a kitchen stool. And the wooden stool we ordered came today. So Matt's putting it together. But I can't get on the bed without it. I tried and I look ridiculous. My cat can't get on it. So we had to buy our cat stairs.
We had to buy a ramp for the dog to get up and down off our bed.
You got to do what you got to do. But I was like, I did not expect that. And I didn't think when I bought the headboard, because it's got this big wrap around with the velvet and all that.
Yeah.
So my nightstand won't fit beside my bed. So I had to get a different nightstand. And now, you know, matchy matchy Melanie's not happy because the bed things don't match.
Yeah.
So Matt's like, oh, Jesus. He says, are we going furniture shopping? I'm like, no, I'll find something on Antique or Facebook Marketplace. I'll find two pretty night tables. That's fine. But yeah, all the things you don't think about.
Yeah, I have a special way I have to get into bed all the time. I like have to basically stand beside it, kick one leg up, and like roll into the bed because
Yes.
it is above my waist also.
Yes. It's
Yeah.
just,
Yeah.
oh,
No, I get it.
short people problems.
Yeah,
It's all
short
right.
people problems. So, Melanie, we caught up on your life. You went to Louisville. You've been all over the place. You were in Maumee, Ohio for a book signing.
Yes.
You also have a bunch of other book signings coming up. You're going to be in, well, first of all, you're going to be at the Novel Grounds.
Yes, in Chesapeake on release day for My Favorite Boss. And you have to buy a ticket, but you get a book with your thing. And we have some special pre-order incentives that you're only going to get if you pre-order. There's a secondary character in the book that sort of is his own little star. And so he's featured in the art card. And I'm very excited about that, doing that signing. So Matt and I are driving down the day before so we can do a little shopping because I love shopping the States. And then we'll do the signing and then we'll head home.
It's exciting that you get to do these bookstore things, but also, so you are kind of on the cusp. You are a bit of a groundbreaker, a little bit, because you are kind of this new hybrid where your paperbacks are being distributed from Waterhouse Press. And then you have the indie rights to the ebooks. So the ebooks in Kindle Unlimited, you guys, it's out today. The audiobook is available out today.
No.
No.
September 17th.
Well, yeah, but we're recording this early, but we're
Oh,
not dropping this till the
just shut
7th.
me up now. Just shut me up.
We're recording this a couple day weeks in advance,
You
but
cut that part out?
no, it's fine. It's fine.
Listen, I didn't even remember we were doing this.
I know, right? Things happen. It's okay.
Things
Life's hard.
happen. Yes. So everything is out today, the audiobook,
Yeah.
ebook, Kindle Unlimited, all of that'll be out today.
But so 2024 has been kind of an exciting year for you because your series, The Contract with
Yep.
Richard the Asshole, because that is the only way, he is your meanest hero.
He is my meanest hero.
He just
And
demeans
I
you.
wrote him to be, I wanted to make him the awfulest person I had ever met. And I based him on someone in my real life who was horrible, but there was no redeeming the person in my real life. And when Karen or when my editor read it, she said to me, "Kin, I don't know if you can even redeem him." And I said, "Well, let's see if I can." And he just showed me the way. And I think Penny had a lot to do with it.
He does. He gets redeemed. He does have a great redemption arc and actually character arc. I used him as an example as one of, like, it's an achievement of a character arc to be able to take a character that is so self-involved, self-centered, almost narcissistic,
Oh, completely.
and you can see his growth. In this, 350-page book, we see his growth that, and it isn't overnight. Like, love doesn't fix him, his attraction to Penny doesn't heal him. But instead, we get this natural evolution of how he starts to see that the world is bigger than Richard and Richard's problems.
Oh, yes, and he said it to Katie. His anger didn't change her. It was her sweetness that changed him. Because she could have become like him, all
Yeah.
the wealth, all the money, all the power, that could go to someone's head and she could turn into him. But instead, she didn't allow any of that to affect her, but her gentleness and her sweetness changed him
Yeah.
for the better. And he became, I mean, he's so many people's favorite character.
Well, so he actually kind of got a rebirth this year with his release in paperback and now available in bookstore retailers. So, can you tell us? So, you've been an indie author since I think your first book was 2013,
14,
14.
I think 14.
14.
Maybe no, 13. 13.
Is
No.
it 2013? Okay. Anyway, Melanie's been writing for a minute.
Yeah.
And you're a very, you're a valid author even before this paperback deal. But what is that feeling now that you can walk into any book retailer? And 9 out of 10 times, there's your book.
Yes, it's the first time I saw one. I was with a friend of mine, and she said to me, "Well, what am I looking for?" And I scanned the shelves, and there was one copy, and it was facing out. And I said, "That's what we're looking for." And she was like, "Oh my God, that's you." And I just started to cry. And one of the sales staff was around, and she came over. She's like, "Is everything all right?" And Jackie's like, "Oh, that's my friend's book, this girl." And she's like, "Oh, how exciting." And I said to her, "I think I have to buy it because it's, the first time." And my friend said, "No, I'm buying it because I want to have the first one you saw," which was really cool. So the lady was very funny. She's like, "We actually have a few more in the back, but we only put them out."
Yeah.
She says, "It's not even supposed to release until for 2 more days." I said, "Yes, I know. We just thought we were here, we'd have a check." But every time I go into the store, when I see them, you get that little flutter in your chest,
Yeah.
and it's every author's dream, right?
Sure.
I mean, you want to write a good book, you want to be well received, but to be able to have your book on a shelf, I mean, digital is amazing. Ordering them through the store is amazing, but to see it sitting there beside other authors that I consider amazing, it's quite the feeling. And I hope that never goes away.
And I know you and I have been hanging out for some time, and I think that your emotions and feelings and your heart is very true and genuine. And you love your craft and you love your readers. And like, to be honest, when I saw your deal, I think I was talking to either Leah or Shauna or somebody, and I said, it could not have happened to a nicer person in Romancelandia. Like, if I could
Thanks.
handpick who gets it, these special deals, you would have been top of the list. Because there's, you were making a living previous, right? Like,
Yep, absolutely.
selling indie, you were doing great. But now there's this level of like, I've arrived.
Yes. Well, and they liked it enough that they're interested in another series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the more books I can get on the bookshelves, the better, right?
Right.
And it's really hard for an indie author. I mean, Barnes and Noble is great and they do order in books, but Target doesn't, all those other Books a Million, they don't, none of them do. So just to have that, I mean, it's a thrill. It's an absolute thrill. And the thing I love so much about it, I have an amazing husband, and you know what it's like to have an amazing husband. He gets more excited when we go into bookstores than I do when he finds them. And he'll come, he'll be like, "Honey, it's over here." And they've got like, 10 copies of each one. Come and sign them. I mean, I'm no Lucy Score or Anna Hong or any of those ones that have 100 in the store, but you got to start somewhere, right? And you build. I mean, at Mommy, I don't know if you saw, but when they finished the book signing, they said to me, "Oh, we have books for a couple other stores. Would you mind signing them?" And I said, "Sure." And they brought out a cart of 140 books. So I was like, "Holy shit, those are going to other stores?" She's like, "Two stores." And I had her send Karen the addresses so that people know, because people love signed copies.
They do.
She says, "Just sign as whatever you can sign." I'm like, "I'm not leaving until they're all signed, because what a treat for my readers and what a treat for me to be able to do that."
Right?
Yes.
There's something special about knowing, and again, I've had the privilege to meet you now twice, outside of talking to you, and I always say this, the podcast allows me a privilege that a lot of readers don't get. Because at the end of the day, no matter what my job is, I'm a reader at heart. I've been reading romance since the 90s. I'm a reader at heart. And to get to meet a favorite author and hand them one of your favorite books and say, hey, can you sign this for me? There's just this special moment. Like, it just affirms more of that kinship, like, this is my author, this is my person, and I love her
Yes.
books and her stories. And that's something magical you do in your stories, right? Like, you give us this fun escapism. And actually, so we're talking about My Favorite Boss, which is your newest release. And I'm only halfway through, so everybody who's listening, you're safe. I cannot spoil it. I promise to read the epilogue. I will come back on and talk about the epilogue. But one of the things that you do is there's joy in your stories, even when I will not forget you told me you're like, I'm writing a mafia romance. And I'm like, what? How is Melanie going to write us a mafia romance? But I read that first book with
Aldo?
Aldo. I was going to say Aldo, and I don't know why. Aldo. And he was such a little bit of a jerk in the beginning. And then he turns into this big squishy gummy bear. Like, I love him. But I'm like, how is she going to write a man that's just going to kill people? But he does.
He does.
He
Roman
does.
loves to unalive people.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's a great guy. As long as he doesn't want to unalive me.
Right. But you provide this escapism and this funness to your books. So even a mafia, because, you know, we have some of our people like Jenny who doesn't love dark, dark mafia, right? But man, she devoured Aldo and Roman. She like could not read those books fast enough. But with My Favorite Boss, again, it's such an escape. I'm only halfway through, and it's just fun and light and delightful. And I want to know, how do you do this? How do you go into each of these stories and say, okay, this, because our hero, Alexander Bain, he's kind of a bit
He's
of a
com
prick. Like,
Yes, he's complete.
he's a
He's
grouch.
not as bad as Richard, but he's shut himself off to everything else but his work. That's
Yeah.
his entire life is what he does. And he likes everything very exact and very orderly and very Bane-ish. That
Yeah.
sort of become a thing with Karen and I, and I'll be like, "You're being very Bane-ish today."
Karen is kind of Bane-ish. Like, I see this. I see this.
I'm
Yeah.
glad
I
she's
see
going to
this.
hurt you for that, though.
Probably. I will pay for this.
So I needed a whirlwind to come into his life, and I
Yeah.
needed someone who literally falls apart, you know, is either falling down or is late or is sassy. He's used to nobody talks back to him. Nobody calls him anything but Mr. Bane. Nobody would dare, but she's not scared of him
I
at
mean,
all.
and he has a reputation. He like
Yes.
goes through assistants. He doesn't have
Like,
any tolerance.
nope. You know, they smile too much. They're, you know, they don't do this properly. They don't check this. They're not what he wants, because he wants himself, right? He wants to clone himself, and then his world would be perfect. And
Right.
in sweeps Miss Magnolia Myers, and blows everything out of everything he believes in no longer exists. And she shows him that it's okay to love, and that it's okay to make mistakes, and that it's okay just to be human and just to be Alex, because
Yeah.
he's not Alex with anybody, he's Bane.
Yeah, right.
So she teaches him how to be Alex. And she got her name because my great niece had a baby. So she's my great great niece, and her name is Magnolia. And when she told me that, I was like, I need to use that in a book. And then suddenly the name Magnolia Myers hit me. And then one day the name Alexander Bain hit me. And then I could hear her quite clear. It took me a while to find him. And then for about 3 months, I just got snippets. So, the mother scene that we were talking about,
Yeah.
that was the first thing I wrote.
Okay.
And that sort of set Magnolia's tone. And then their first meeting, Magnolia told me about. And then something else that happens later. I wrote that snippet. And the same thing is happening with the next one. The two characters are dropping snippets every so often. But I'm not getting the whole story. So I've learned with this series just to let the snippets come, and
Yeah.
then I'll fill out the rest. But every character's different. I mean, there's always a happy ever after. There's always different stories. They always handle things different. But I mean, every person is different, right? So my characters need to be a little different. The
Even in
stories need to
your,
be different.
yeah, and even in your mafia books, where they could have been very similar characters and very similar stories, they absolutely were not.
No.
Like, you,
All those actually quite funny.
yeah.
And Roman is not.
No, Roman kind of walks around with a bit of a stick up his bum for a while.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, all the main characters fight love. Let's face it.
They
That's what
all
we want.
do. But even in
Yeah.
like your Reynolds Restoration series, I recently did a re-listen to those because I needed just like a comfort listen. And your audiobook narrator is John Lane. And he's my favorite. Like, I mean, I love Sebastian York, don't get me wrong. Everybody knows that. But John Lane is just next tier. And you use Maxine Mitchell
Maxine, yes,
together, and they're phenomenal. So I was doing
they're
a re-
magic.
I was doing a re-listen, and I think I was like through book three, and I'm like, seriously, do these people not just look around and be like, oh, everybody's falling in love, I should just get in line? Not one of your characters gets in line.
No, nobody gets in line. No, and that's half the fun, is watching them fall in love, seeing what the heroine does, or seeing what realization they come to. That gets them to realize, that they're actually in love because they're in love long before they ever realize it.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if you saw the live last week in my group. Maxine Mitchell was on with
I
me.
didn't. I missed it.
Okay, well, it's in the group. You can watch it.
Okay.
And she reread a scene that she had done. That when I was listening to the audio to proof it, I was laughing so hard I had to stop. And go back to make sure the words were right. And I said to her, "Can you read the fine scene?" She's like, "Oh, sure." So she read it, and I was laughing just as hard listening to it the second time. They both breathe life into the characters.
Yeah.
There are some narrated books I've listened to. I don't want to say dull, but they just don't do it for me. They get, and I don't know, I mean, she. I think we tried to figure out. I think Maxime's done 20, 26, 28 books of mine, even
I
more.
think she, the only one I think she hasn't done is the contract, the amendment, and the those
I think
three.
three, there might be three she hasn't done. And, but John's done them all but one.
Yeah.
But they work so well together and they know me and they know my words and they know how. My characters are, so they get me.
Yeah.
So when you, and I understand when I'm doing something now, I make myself little notes. I'll be like, oh, I should tell John about this, or I should tell Maxine about this. They bring the characters to life. And
Yeah.
when the characters laugh, they laugh. When the characters cry, Maxine makes me cry when my characters cry and she's reading it crying. It makes me cry because it's so heartfelt. I've lucked out with those two
Yeah.
and I love working with them.
They're
And
so
my
great.
first question, as soon as it's okay, book is done, let her off to John, or I call him and I'm like, are you available? And is Maxine available?
Yeah.
And they always fit me in, even if it's last minute, but I try and schedule a year ahead with them
Sure.
so that I know I have them.
Is that so when you sit down to write, because that's one of the things, you know, I've been reading romance a long time, you've been writing romance a long time. There's such a joyfulness in your books, even when they're chaotic. Like in My Favorite Boss, Magnolia is a whirlwind and it's a little chaotic. And you're kind of like, how are these two ever going to get together? Like, how is this going to happen? But there's this undertone of joyfulness when in your writing and in your books. And I definitely read it within your like Restoration series. Is that joy? Is that you coming through? Is that your writing coming through? Or do you work really hard to make sure that there's that underlying joyfulness? Like, is it
I don't think I
conscious?
work hard at it. I think I'm old.
Same sister. Same. We're not that far off.
I'm at the point in my life where I'm doing something that I love. I love to write. I love doing the characters. I love being able to see my readers. I love to be able, home is my comfort. So
Right.
to be able to work from home, to be able to be here, it is joyful. And every time I write something and sit back and go, I don't take praise very well, but every so often I sit back and go, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And I'll send it to Karen, and she's like, that's fabulous. Keep going. I guess the joy of writing the book
Just
shows up
comes
in the
through.
book.
Yeah. I just,
I mean, yeah.
there's just a joyfulness to your stories, even like, you know, when Roman is shooting somebody or Aldo is beating the crap out of somebody, there is an underlying sense of joy. You wouldn't think it, but it is
Well,
there.
that's what makes them happy.
Right? Right?
I like to bake cookies. They like to unalive people. We
People.
all have hobbies.
And that's something, I think that's one of the things that keeps readers coming back to your stories. And I think that that must be what Waterhouse Press, when they said, hey, we want these paperbacks. I think what they must see is that each story is uniquely its own story. I never feel like you are rinse and repeating anything, but there's a joy and a happiness and an escapism, but also like real stuff. Like, you know, the contract, we had grief in Reynolds Restoration. You run the gamut of emotions and nothing, everything's messy. I was, like I said, I just re-listened to that series. That series is kind of messy.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, wow, this is messier than even like the Men of the Falls series. Like,
I like mess.
yeah.
And then I like bringing the chaotic circle to a close. And somehow this craziness and this stiff meet together and become fluid.
Yeah.
Because one helps settle the other. One brings some life into the other, and the other brings some stability. So there's always going to be characters that are black and white. So I bring them together for the gray. And my life was very much like that. My life was very chaotic before I met Matthew. And then he brought a stability and a peacefulness to my life that I'd never experienced. So I try and bring that.
I
I mean,
often,
I've said it before. I'm very lucky with my partner.
I
So.
often refer to Mike as my voice of reason. Because if I didn't have him, messy, messy, chaotic, I would have half-finished products and all sorts of chaos reigning. But I'll be like, oh my God, I have this idea. And he'll be like, okay. And he listens. And he'll be like, well, did you think about this? Or did you think about that? Or how are you going to do this? Or how does that work? And I'm like, why you always got to rain on my parades? Just got to be the
But you
voice of
need
reason.
that.
I do. I need someone to rein me
Karen's emailing. Let's just make sure that I'm not. No, I'm good. Okay.
Okay.
I thought maybe I was screwing up. And I'm very lucky in this world. I've met people like you who I adore and I get to talk books with. I have a team around me that I trust with my life,
Yeah.
that encourage me and pump me up when I need to be pumped up and slap me when I'm getting. Imposter syndrome is big with me a lot of the time. So I think it is with a lot of authors.
I think it's real for anybody in the creative,
Yes,
realm. You know,
obviously.
I have that. You know, I had an author, T.L. Swan reached out a couple weeks ago, like her team. Hey, she'd really like to come on your podcast. And I'm like, my podcast, like this little thing, because that's weird.
It's not little.
I know, but
It's great.
it just feels well. And I had, okay, you will so appreciate this. I had a fan encounter, but I didn't know it was a fan encounter for me at first because I'm so oblivious. I went to CalypsoCon. It was up held outside Detroit this year. And I couldn't go for the whole weekend, but they invited me to come to the signing. They're like, hey, just come to the signing. It's you are welcome. We'd love to have you. Very gracious. I was very grateful. I went and I was standing there talking to Golden Angel and another author. And this woman walks past and she's like, oh my God, I'm so excited you're here. I'm such a big fan. And I thought she was talking to Maud, the other author, or Golden. Like, I was like, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, aren't they the best? She's like, no, you, I listen, I watch all the time. And I'm like, oh,
oh,
thank you for listening. I'm like,
people don't, when you, yeah, if you're not in this kind, in this world, it's very unreal. I mean, when people come up to me and cry because of something I said in a book that helped them or did brought joy to their life or something, they don't know what that means to me. That's what gets me through the down parts.
Yeah.
That and Karen kicking my ass. Well,
I'm fairly certain she kicks my ass through messages often too. So
Karen's a great ass kicker.
She's really good.
I always tease her. I'm like, Waterhouse Press must have dread your emails. Because they'll send out a thing saying we're doing this, this, and this. And I'll be like, oh, that's great. And then she sends them a list of, I'm doing this, 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 this. Now what are you going to do? And I'm like, they must just sit back and go, holy fuck.
What are we going to do with this lady? She's a badass, yeah. But she's also the sweetest. So
She's part of me. She, if I stopped writing tomorrow, Karen would still be in my life.
Yeah.
For the rest of it.
You can't get rid of me either. Like, best friends here, friend. Best friends.
No, I'm just, I consider myself very blessed. I mean, I did this as a hobby. I did this because Matt worked so many long hours in Toronto and I needed to fill in the time. And I tried publishing a book and, you know, I sold, I think, 40 copies of my first book. And I think I sold 200 of the next one, maybe 1,000 of the third one. And I was like, oh, this is great. It's enough. It, you know, pays for a little weekend away somewhere every year. We're great. And then I put out the contract and my life changed. And I wasn't prepared for it. I had no idea. And I mean, I quit my job. We moved. We did all sorts of things. And this has been my life for all that time. And it's a dream because I always loved to tell stories. I always loved to write stories, but they were just for me.
Yeah.
I never thought anybody would want to read them.
They want to read them and they should want to read My Favorite Boss. So My Favorite Boss is out today, September 17th, 2024. This is a grumpy sunshine boss employee close proximity rom-com. Magnolia is a little bit of a fish out of water. Because she's really never come up against anyone like Alexander Bain.
Which is probably good because she didn't treat him any different than she'd treat anybody else.
She didn't. Okay, so.
But she enjoys putting him in his place.
She does. Like, yes. And her sass is next level sass. Like, I am here for this sass. Like, is Magnolia, is she kind of modeled after Karen?
Actually, I was going to say she's modeled after me.
Okay. I mean,
I tend to be very, there's some true life stories woven in this book.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
When, especially if I'm drunk or when I get to know you really, really well, I'm exceedingly sassy. Usually when people first meet me, I'm very quiet and shy.
Yeah.
But get a few drinks into me. Karen has a video of me wildly drunk and having a great time and killing it at the table with the jokes and the stories.
Oh my God.
Which I would never do completely sober.
That's so funny.
But yeah, no, there's a lot of me in Magnolia. There's a lot of Karen. There's a lot of every woman that I admire, sort of, you know, and take no hold shit. Like,
she's
no holds barred. I'll say what I want to you because if you're going to fire me, then fire me. I don't care.
She's girl crush material. Like, she's one of those where you're going to be like, I love her. Like, I want to be her. I love her. She's one of those you'll want to keep. Okay. So My Grumpy Boss is out now. What's next?
Atlee Hayes, who works on my team, I usually put out a Christmas book, and I couldn't last year. I had COVID, I'd had a small stroke, things were not working so well. But I said to Karen, I could write something. So we let the group decide what little snippet I'd write, just something fun. And
Yeah.
they picked a grumpy farmer, single mother, small town, something else. So I just wrote this, I don't know, it was 2,000 words. I had it edited. We put it out in, I think we put it out in the newsletter or in the group. I don't remember the
I
group.
think I got it from the newsletter,
Okay.
I
So
think.
people fell in love with Farmer John.
Yeah.
And they've been asking all year. So I just finished writing Farmer John, and I believe he comes out in November. And then in the new year is another mafia.
Cannot wait.
And then in June next year, or September next year, is the third book in the Favorite series.
Okay.
Again, totally standalone. It's going to be ridiculously funny. That whole series is just going to be stupidly funny, me having a lot of enjoyment as I write the
Well,
books.
my favorite kidnapper is so funny because she's like, you have to kidnap me. Like, it's just the way it has to be. And I'm not leaving. You can't get rid
Yes.
of me.
And I mean, that was supposed to be a dark romance. But then by the end of the first chapter, I'm like, this isn't going to be dark. This is going to be stupidly funny. And I'll just take the whole kidnapping thing and turn it on its ear and make fun of it.
Yeah.
And people love it.
It's so
They
fun.
just love it. And that sort of inspired the boss. So I decided to do another. You know, nobody would act this way in an office, but they do.
Do.
And the next one, I'm just fleshing it out. They're just starting to talk to me,
Okay.
but it'll be my favorite
Something.
play. Yes.
Cannot wait.
And then after that, I have a book that hit me in the middle of the night that I can't talk about. If
But
I can write it,
it's percolating. It's percolating.
it will be quite something. It'll be unlike anything I have ever written.
I cannot wait. It's always an adventure.
It is.
Melanie, thank you so much for hanging out with us and chatting with me. Thank you for supporting the podcast,
Always.
for being so awesome. You don't know this yet, but they went out early here September. You are our Patreon swag pack sponsor this month. So
Oh,
everybody is getting all the team epilogue stickers this month.
so if you're reading my epilogue, sir, epilogue, should I call you semi-epi Becky?
Probably only reads Melanie's Eppies, Becky.
MM Epi only,
MM Eppies
Becky?
only. It's
Sounds like a pen.
really funny, when your whole, I had to laugh when your whole marketing campaign for the rest of the year is
No
team
Epi Becky.
epilogues because of my bad toxic
I will
traits.
never forget that, ever.
I know. It's so terrible. Nobody else lets me forget it. It's fine. Anyway,
It's fine.
thanks.
But thank you for having me on.
Of
I always
course,
love coming on and
I
chatting
love
with you.
chatting with you. Everybody can find my favorite boss available wherever. Well, the ebook's available on Amazon and with Kindle Unlimited subscription, and the paperback is available everywhere.
Yes. There's been
Until.
a great, there was a great pre-order
There
for
is a
it, so.
great pre-order. Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.